preach in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Lovely to see you all this morning on this beautiful day as we celebrate with the church around the world All Saints Day. I'm going to speak a little bit about the history and the place of this wonderful feast day in a moment. But put simply, today commemorates all the saints of the whole church, those who are known and unknown, who have, simply put, attained heaven. So if you are asked on the way out by your vicar, what does All Saints Day mean? There is the most straightforward answer. All Saints Day is celebrated on November 1st in the Western Church, of which, of course, we belong, and on the first Sunday after Pentecost in the Eastern Churches, the Orthodox Churches. And today, for our Roman Catholic friends, the feast day is what is called a holy day of obligation, which requires attendance at church. Now, I'm not sure if Father Dean over at St. Peter's has got the attendance roll at the door this morning, but I did think about doing it myself. Just see who's here on a holy day of obligation. It is part of a magnificent 3 days that are dedicated to remembering the dead. And it begins with Halloween on October 31, followed by All Saints Day, November 1, and All Souls Day on November 2. And that is why we read that magnificent reading from our patron saint, St. John's Gospel, this morning about the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. The origin of the day is quite extraordinary. This is not a day that the church just made up, or Wendy and I decided during the week that this might be a kind of fun thing to do on Sunday. The church has been doing this for literally centuries. A feast of what was called All Martyrs was kept on May the 13th in the Eastern Church, according to Ephraim Cyrus, who died in the year 373, which may have determined the choice of May 13 by Pope Boniface IV when he dedicated the wonderful and extraordinary building, the Pantheon in Rome. I don't know if you have seen that beautiful building, but the dedication of that as a church in the honour of the Blessed Virgin and All Martyrs in the year 609. Now, the first evidence for the November 1 date of celebration and of the broadening of the festival from All Martyrs to All Saints occurred during the reign of Pope Gregory III, who reigned from 731 to 741. And Pope Gregory dedicated a chapel in St. Peter's, Rome, on November the 1st, in honour of All Saints. This is really the earliest mention of this particular All Saints Day. In the year 800, a few years later, All Saints Day was kept in England. It was promulgated by the English scholar and priest Alcuin of York on November 1st, and it also appears in a 9th century English calendar on that day. In the year 837, Pope Gregory IV ordered its general observance across the entirety of the church. And in medieval England, the festival became known as All Hallows, and its eve is still known as Halloween, a fact that is probably lost on those wandering the streets dressed as werewolves and vampires. There was a lovely confluence the other night at our All Souls Day service on Thursday night, which of course was Halloween, where the procession came around the side of the church ready to come in the front of the church, and there was a great herd of small children all dressed up as all sorts of things coming the opposite direction. And I didn't have the opportunity, but I felt like saying, if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't be doing that. This period from October 31 to November 2 is sometimes known as All Hallowtide. Now, these 3 days are not to be confused and they're not to be conflated. This last feast day, All Souls Day, sometimes sort of gets lost in translation or simply overlooked amidst the hoopla of Halloween and the triumph of a day like today, All Saints Day. Yet, like its preceding 2 days, All Souls Day remembers the dead. Not simply the dead of historical renown, such as the famous saints, but the dearly departed, far more personally, family members and close friends. And on Thursday evening at our annual service on All Souls Day, we read and remembered the names of the dead, praying for them, spending time together as one church, both celebrating and mourning those who are dear to us who had died. So we might say that we are in the thick of a church calendar fest, the eve of All Hallows, All Saints Day and All Souls Day. 3 days in which we are asked to remember those who have died, both famous and the not so famous, the well-known to all, the well-known to us, and the well-known only to God. But a question might loom large here. Well, why? Why do this? Why has the church done this for century upon centuries? One thing is sure. The Christian impetus to create a day or days with certain intention is present here to mark on the calendar a special time of remembrance and celebration, and hopefully a place of inspiration for the current members of the church, like us, to be given examples of the faith and courage of those who've gone before us, the saints of renown and the saints of our own lives, such that I hope we will follow in their footsteps and live lives of exemplary faith and service, of holiness, of love, of charity. Or as one of my favourite hymns, I Sing a Song of the Saints of God puts it, and one was a soldier, and one was a priest, and one was slain by a fierce wild beast, and there's not any reason, no not the least, why I shouldn't be one too. You can be glad that I didn't sing that. All Saints Day is given to us as both example and inspiration, of guidance and celebration. But of course, to actually be a saint is not quite so easy, because it involves living as Jesus teaches us, being humble, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being peacemakers in our little or large worlds, and being merciful people, which ain't easy. Being and living as a Jesus follower. With that kind of challenge, it's probably why our broader culture has focused upon the dressing up part of these 3 days of remembering the dead, and at Halloween exchanging sweets and trekking about the streets and Sharknado costumes and decorated houses, because it's much easier and a lot more fun and involves a lot more sugar than the far harder to achieve attributes of saints: service, humility, faithfulness, courage, perseverance, and sacrifice. Courage in the face of our certain death, faith in the resurrection. Yet I hope that if we were looking for inspiration as to what it is that one should do with one's life, how one should actually live, I trust that we would look first at the lives of the saints rather than the Halloween costume catalogue. And such a cultural critique could also be levelled at the other major Christian festivals that have been taken over, in some senses at least, by popular culture, not least Christmas and Easter. Now, as Australians, we are culturally actually very well accustomed to remembering on a sort of a national day those who have died, and particularly those who died in war. Next week, we keep festival for Remembrance Day, and we shall, with the rest of this nation, and indeed many others, have our spirits stirred by the remembrance of the sacrifice so many of our nation, and indeed those who sat in these very pews, who made the ultimate price, paid the ultimate price for the defence of our country, its ideals, and our democracy. Yet next week, as we remember the sacrifice of a slice of a generation of Australians, bear in mind that today the entire Western Church bids us remember the sacrifice of the generation after generation after generation of saints, known and unknown, who passed down to you and me the Christian faith, which has shaped nations, has formed the world, and it forms and informs how you and I live day to day, who have given us the gift of the example of the life of Christ, no less. So let us not forget to have the courage to remember and follow the lives of the saints, such that our lives are marked by a Christian witness that is blessed by God, and not only remembered by God, but also perhaps we will be remembered as saints by the church one day too. The Lord be with you.